Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet a state tribal veteran service officer, get updates from the Navy League, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon networks are an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program are vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements as we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. Your help ensures our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you are ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit mnbtyr.ng.mil. That's mnbtyr.ng.mil.
Information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to meet a state tribal veteran service officer today, and joining us now is Galen Minkle, who is a tribal veteran service officer with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Galen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Galen, I understand you served a few years in the United States Air Force.
Yes, sir. I did a total of 25 years in the Air Force. 20 of those were active duty, and then 5 years with the Minnesota Air National Guard out of the 133rd out of Minneapolis.
And what position were you in with the in the service?
I was an air traffic controller, both tower and radar. Retired as an E-7 Master Sergeant. Prior to the end of my enlistment, I volunteered for Iraq. I did a four-month tour there and decided that my service had rendered and I had enough and decided to retire and come home.
Very good, sir. And now you're serving as a tribal veteran service officer. How did you get from the air traffic control specialist to being a tribal veteran service officer?
I got a call from an old friend that was aware of my service and such forth. He was a veteran himself, from Granite Falls, Minnesota, and I was out ice fishing one day, and he called me up. And he said they have an opening, and he thought that this kind of fit my billet, so the rest is history. I'm starting my sixth year now with the state of Minnesota.
Now, Galen, are you a Native American?
Yes, sir. I am a proud member of the Lower Sioux Indian community. I've been enrolled here my whole life. Was not brought up and raised on the reservation itself. I grew up in the small town of Olivia, Minnesota, just north of Morton, Minnesota. And upon my return from the military, I returned to the Redwood area.
So as a tribal veteran service officer, do you get to deal with the Native Americans from the Lower Sioux?
Yes, I do. I cover all of the Dakota tribes here in Minnesota. I represent them. For all their needs, if it's questions pertaining to as far as health benefits, educational benefits, if they need to file a claim for services, disabilities, and such forth. I cover the Upper Sioux of Granite Falls, the Lower Sioux, which is my community here, and the Prairie Island community, as well as I represent the Mittawaka Choctaw.
What a great opportunity for you to take care of your fellow Native American veterans.
Yeah, it's. I can tell you it's a very enjoyable job. Like my wife said one time, I think you found you definitely found your calling, and this certainly is, I can't express enough on how much I enjoy this job.
We're speaking with Galen Minkle, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Galen, we've had many times in the last 10 years of doing the show, we've had county veteran service officers on the show, and they have told us the stories about all the resources that are available to help veterans, and the recurring theme on all those interviews is for any of those veterans, if they need anything related to their military service, they start with the county veteran service officer. Can the same be said for our Native American friends, veterans? They start with you for whatever might be related to their service?
Absolutely. They can start with me. I work hand-in-hand with all of the county veteran service officers in the District 8 area, which is down here in southwestern Minnesota. I also work in the areas around the Mankato area, so I'm very familiar with the counties themselves. But for anyone, any Native American that's looking for resources and information, they want to file a claim, or they can directly come through me. And they could be from any tribe throughout the whole United States, for that matter.
So, Galen, what's the best way for them to reach you? Do they just go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs webpage? And I'm sure there's got to be a list of resources there.
Yeah, we're identified in there, as well as they could go to their local county veteran service office as well. And then they can reach out to me from them as from the counties, as well as the main source, of course, is through the state of Minnesota, our main office.
So, Galen, it sounds like you must put a few miles on each year going out and talking to our Native American veterans.
That's correct, sir. I do a lot of outreach. I participate as much as I can. Of course, you know, as with the COVID now, you know, that put a break into a lot of my outreach. I just recently, in the last couple of months, have stepped out and done some outreach within the MACV organization down at Mankato, as well as down in Worthington, Minnesota, earlier this past summer. I did an outreach event there as well. Prior to that, it would be monthly where I went out to the different Dakota tribes. I try to participate in as many events as possible that are out there so the word can get out. Amazing how you bump into veterans. They're everywhere.
And I'm sure when you show up at their events and people know you're there, then they might be a little more willing to approach you and say, I've got an issue, I've got a problem, can you help?
Yes, absolutely. I have a lot of my county contacts, the county veteran service officers, and I'll use Redwood Falls here as an example. Justin Hunter, he's been here for a couple of years now, and we work really great together. If he gets wind of there's a veteran here or there, he calls me, and then I seek and destroy it, for lack of a better word. And I reach out, and I find that veteran, and I do the best I can to help them with whatever services that they're asking for.
Very good, sir. Now, I understand there's a difference between state and federal benefits for our Native American veterans. Can you explain that?
Well, you know, on the federal side of it, you're primarily looking at disabilities, health care, education, and such forth. You know, one of the things on the state side, we have, what, if you're familiar, I'm sure you are, sir, with the State Soldiers Assistance Program. All of those benefits, both the federal and the state side, all of our veterans that have been honorably discharged, to include Native Americans, and all ethnicities, they all qualify for those benefits. And one of the unique things, though, on the state side of it with the State Soldiers Assistance Program is we can help all veterans with if it may be for educational benefits. I just recently, and this happened as of yesterday, I was able to help a Native American, a lady of my tribe, acquire a new heating system with the assistance of the State Soldiers Assistance Program. That was a $7,000 furnace. Within 24 hours, I had approval. That was life-changing for this lady. Her furnace went out 2 days ago, and yesterday she was awarded that. So those are the unique programs that are out there for our veterans.
Great work, Galen. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Galen Minkle on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Galen Minkle, who is a tribal veteran service officer working out of Redwood Falls, Minnesota. He's part of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Galen, you were telling us a story when we at the last segment that you had a lady come in and she had a problem with her heater in her house. And within a couple of days, you got you found some money and you got it replaced. That had to make your week.
Yes, sir, it surely did. I didn't realize that once you expedite some of these special needs grants through the State Soldiers Assistance Program, that they actually move that quickly. And yesterday was proof in the pudding. They were missing one piece of paperwork. Within 20 minutes, I had an email from St. Paul indicating that her furnace, the labor, the new furnace, was all approved that quickly. So within 24 hours, I had an answer in the State Soldiers Assistance Program. And I can assure you it certainly made her day, as well as mine.
Well, great work, Galen. Now, I want to ask you a question. A few years ago, we had an opportunity to go up to Cloquet and attend a veterans powwow with the Lacqueparo band up there, and it was an amazing day. Can you explain what our Native Americans do in terms of a veterans powwow and what it means in your culture?
Well, being a member from the Lower Sioux Indian community, unfortunately, this year, because of the COVID, we could not, and we had to cancel our Veterans Washipi powwow. One of the reasons was, of course, because of the possibility of the spread of the COVID. Every year, and this would have been our seventh year of Veterans Washipi, where we have it actually not outdoors, but we have it indoors, and it's located here at Jackpot Junction Hotel and Casino. In our great big Dakota Expedition Center. And the neat thing is it's an opportunity to basically, in a lot of different ways, support and honor the warrior of Native Americans, especially those that have served their country. So it's an enjoyable event. And for those people that have never attended one, I highly recommend you do. Yourself, Tom, you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you know, how you kind of left there with an awe. And it's a great feeling. You can see the honor of all of the veterans as they're carrying in the colors and how proud they are of their service to their country.
It was an incredible event. It was on the powwow grounds, and there was a circle, and they came in the circle with their some of their uniforms and things on, and they were dancing, and the rest of the Native Americans clearly held them in very, very high regard. And I came away in awe. You are absolutely correct. I think there's some things we could learn from that, and it was an amazing experience.
Right. Yeah, I attend all of the powwows that I can make it to. Shakopee, Prairie Island, Upper Sioux, as well as my tribe here at Lower Sioux. Of course, again, due to COVID, we didn't have many powwows, if hardly any, this year. Most of them were canceled. So I look forward to this coming summer and attending all of them that I can attend. Normally, I participate at the Lower Sioux, and I'm always proud to bring in the Air Force flag at the opening ceremony, as well as retiring the flags in the end as well.
I'd like to see that, Galen. Galen, it's my understanding that Native Americans serve in far greater percentages, higher percentages than the general population. Is that due to the culture? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, I think a lot of it becomes, in my opinion, is that Native Americans, they're very patriotic. As you know, they have the highest record of military service per capita of any ethnic group. It's just, it's a tough one to answer, but you know, it comes within, and they have so much pride in themselves.
And it's a tremendous thing to see and experience. And Galen, I know that as a tribal veteran service officer, you help our Native American veterans to file for service-connected disability and to help them if they have a medical issue from their time of service.
Correct. I do exactly the same as your county veteran service officer does, Tom. I have a small office on the Lower Sioux Indian community as well as the Upper Sioux, where I go there once a month, and then as needed down in Prairie Island and as well as Shakopee. But what I do is it's one-stop shopping. The veteran can come into my office. Everything is confidential. And I do all the paperwork. I do all the filing of the claim. I assist the veteran in every aspect from the claim once it starts until it's finished. I also represent them as well when it comes to the appeal process, if it gets to that. Normally, if a veteran service officer, he or she or tribal, if they're really diligent on doing their work from the very beginning, they have a very high success rate in the TVSO program and getting these claims that we apply for. A high success rate, I should say.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Galen Minkle, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. And Galen, I also saw some numbers that indicate that not quite as many of our Native Americans go to the Minneapolis VA hospital, but is the reason for that that on some of the reservations they've got their own health services and it's just more convenient and easier to go there?
Well, I think that's part of it, Tom, but we, like at Lower Sioux here, we have our own clinic that was just built here about 3 years ago. Most of the veterans from my community, they do utilize the clinic itself through their own insurance as well as the Indian Health Services. A lot of the veterans that I've worked with, they utilize the VA healthcare system, like myself, being service-connected. With some disabilities that I incurred while I was in the Air Force, it made more sense for me to utilize the VA healthcare system. So I work out of the Montevideo CBOC, and all my healthcare is through them. Now, I could utilize our clinic here on the reservation, but I chose to just stick with the VA at this point in time. But that is an option for me.
Well, Galen, we're out of time for today, but I'd like to thank you for joining us today. And when the COVID is over and up, we'd invite you to come back to the radio station and talk to us again about your what an incredible opportunity for you to take care of your fellow Native American veterans. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and I'd be more than happy to come back. And when this COVID does lift, this is an open invite to anyone within the state of Minnesota. Come to a powwow, come to the Lower Sioux powwow, come to any powwow, and you'll be able to experience a quite unique experience, I can say that.
Very good, sir. Thank you. That was Galen Minkle, Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Navy League. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Brian Scon from the Minnesota's Navy League, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Larry Herkey.
As we gather at our own tables at Thanksgiving, let us not only give thanks and blessings in our own lives, but give thanks for our servicemen and servicewomen, for those who are currently serving, and for those who have served on Thanksgiving's past, ensuring us the precious blessing of liberty. John F. Kennedy once said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." As we return to our daily lives, let us live by our words and be grateful for all that we have. Happy Thanksgiving to all the veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Brian Scon is the current chair of the Minnesota Navy League's USS Minneapolis-St. Paul LCS 21 Commissioning Committee and the Vice President for Events. And maybe more importantly, he's the father of two U.S. Navy sailors. Brian, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's always good to be on your show.
Brian, before we start talking about the USS Minnesota or the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, tell me about those two Navy sailors. How are they doing?
Well, they're doing pretty good. One is on USS John C. Stennis, which is beginning its four-year overhaul, its midlife overhaul, and not as exciting as going out to sea. Currently moored in Norfolk, waiting to be moved across the bay into Huntington Ingalls. My daughter, on the other hand, she is out on an underway right now, probably scheduled to come back tomorrow. But she has new orders, and her new orders are going to be moving to Naval Station Great Lakes as an instructor for navigation. And that will happen next August.
It seems to me you were up there with her a while back, weren't you?
Did she go to school up there? I was with both of them in Labor Day weekend. I was able out in Norfolk but they definitely have in the military bases their COVID lockdowns, their COVID protocols, and I was not able to go on either ship.
Well, it's a COVID kind of year, and it's affected everybody, and glad to see that that your children are doing well in the Navy. Now, the USS Minnesota, how's it doing? What can you give us a quick update?
I can. On September 8th, there was a new commanding officer. His name is Brad, I hope I got his last name, Govin. I've not met him yet. I just had some pictures. He and his wife moved up to Groton to take over. And of course, he took over the command of USS Minnesota. And we do have a new executive officer in chief of the boat that also came on board in 2020. So there's been a lot of changes. They have been doing workups this year, returning from a deployment a year ago, December. And I don't know their schedule going forward.
And it's an award-winning boat.
It was named the best ship in the Atlantic Fleet in 2019. And due to operational stuff going on, the award wasn't actually presented till August 2020. But it was the best ship in the Atlantic Fleet. And that is really hard for a submarine to do because it's really the silent service. And the surface ships get all the attention.
Good for them. Great job done. We're speaking with Brian Skahn from Minnesota's Navy League on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Brian, the most exciting topic for me is we've got a new ship coming underway, the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. In 2018, you did a keel authentication ceremony. In 2019, it was you were out to Wisconsin for the christening of the ship, and it's been out in sea trials, hasn't it?
It has. It did its acceptance trials. That's what it's called, acceptance trials, in August of 2020. And there's been some great video that we've posted. We actually had a fan who was on a boat in Lake Michigan who took a picture of her out on those trials. And right now, the next major event is the crew will move aboard in January. So it's a month and a half. They're going to take complete control over the entire ship. So they're slowly moving up from Florida in the sunny Florida to cold Wisconsin north of Green Bay.
So, Brian, I'm an old Air Force guy. I don't quite get this, but the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul is a Freedom-class littoral combat ship. Can you explain what that means? How's that ship going to be used once it's accepted by the Navy?
Well, the vernacular I like to use is it's a 400-foot-long jet boat. It is powered by water jets, and it's steered by water jets. There's no rudders. There's no screws or propellers. But from littoral, and people often mispronounce it as literal. Littoral means near shore. What's amazing about it, and I did go on Minneapolis-St. Paul in January. She rides. For a 400-foot-long boat at about 3,500 tons, she rides only 13 feet. She only drafts 13 feet of water. So she rides really high to go really fast. The engineering is pretty amazing.
Well, it's going to be fun to see that. And now they're fitting out the ship. And I understand the third step of becoming accepted as a ship into the Navy is the commissioning. And is that scheduled for next spring?
For an Air Force guy, you've got this standard down pretty well.
I was paying attention when we did the USS Minnesota, Brian.
That's pretty awesome. Yes, we will have the ship. I'm confident. I've been told by the Navy, 99% sure the ship will arrive in Duluth in mid-May for its commissioning. To be completely upfront to your audience, it was supposed to be a 7,000 to 10,000 people public event. We don't know what's going to happen at this point from whether it's a public or private event. So on one hand, we are very confident to the tune of 99% it will be in Duluth for its commissioning ceremony because it's only a day sail from Marionette, Wisconsin.
Well, we'll have you back on the show between now and then.
But whether it's a public event or not is subject to the states and the navies and the city of Duluth's COVID requirements.
Well, we'll have you back on the show and we'll announce how that unfolds. We just got about a minute left, Brian. Are you still raising funds for the commissioning ceremony and some of the costs that go into this?
Right. Exactly. We still have a budget that approaches over. We've dialed it back a little bit. It's still over $200,000 in costs, which includes a scholarship with the University of Minnesota Foundation. So we are still raising funds, and we recently raised $25,000 from three donors. PAR Systems in Roseville, Minnesota, BAE in Minneapolis, Minnesota, BAE Corporation, and API that's in Arden Hills. So $25,000 came from those three donations, but we also will take private personal donations, anything. And the key point is 100% goes to the crew. We are all volunteer, so 100% goes to the crew in the event. As an all-volunteer team, we are not paid at all.
So if our listeners want to help, they can just look up Minnesota Navy League, and I'm sure you've got some information on your website that shows how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Brian, we're out of... Can I say the website's lcs21.org, lcs21.org.
Very good, sir. We're out of time, Brian. I look forward to talking to you again soon, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Brian Skahn from the Minnesota Navy League. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've got a special guest joining us for this segment. He's a part-time co-host of Minnesota Military Radio. He's a board member of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and he works full-time for Cargill. His name is Jason Burley. Jason, welcome back to the show. It's been a while in this COVID year.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's great to be back, as always. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
This 2020 has been one of the strangest years we've had in a long time, and I know that you've had a lot of virtual conferences, and things have changed a bit. How's everything going for Cargill?
Yeah, we've been very, very fortunate. It's been an incredible year. Things have changed dramatically since March, obviously, but Cargill continues to serve our customers very well and help the world thrive as we continue to provide food ingredients for food manufacturing across the country. So we're very, very happy about our performance so far.
I know Cargill has been a big supporter of the military and our veterans. Are you still focusing on hiring veterans?
Well, funny you should bring that up. I just had a great conversation with our military sourcer, Sheila Jessen. She works in our talent development and talent recruiting group. And we're really, really doubling down on the focus around hiring veterans. We've been able to get into connections and contacts with many of our customers as well, one of them being Nestle, where we participate in a group called the Project Opportunity Alliance, which is specifically focused on military hiring throughout the food industry.
Cargill's still hard at it, hiring lots of veterans. So you're rounding up all your buddies from the old Red Bulls and having them come to work, right?
Well, we're doing our best. I've been talking to all kinds of different folks, and it's really amazing when you start to build the network how those things start to come together. I had a young Marine captain this morning that I was talking to. We just put another Marine into Cargill just recently over the last year. And we've got a great little network of all kinds of folks from, every branch of service and every type of job that you could do in the military. It's really quite remarkable what we've got showing up.
Very good. And I understand you've been doing some podcasts recently.
Well, we've been trying to, participate in as many other veins and venues as possible. So I've had some opportunity to spend some time sharing the story of Cargill and our veterans hiring, trying to do some more outreach. There's just all kinds of opportunities out there. And people are very, very supportive and are open to having this discussion. So we just continue to have as many conversations as possible. We try to get in front of as many folks as we possibly can and try to show people that, the way to civilian employment is really just through networking and trying to connect people to the right job, to the right person at the right time.
Very good. We're speaking with Jason Burley, who is full-time out at Cargill, and he's a member of the board of directors from Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Jason, I want to ask you a little more about Cargill. I understand that the Disabled American Veterans recently recognized Cargill.
Yeah, we've really had another remarkable year as it relates to recognizing all the hard work and efforts of our folks at Cargill. The award for the large employer from Disabled American Veterans was fantastic. We were very surprised and proud to earn that. And then subsequently this year, we also were awarded the Extraordinary Employer Award from the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, which is a follow-on award to the Freedom Award, which, as you know, is the highest award that ESGR bestows on organizations, and we won that 3 years ago. And so we were very proud to receive the Extraordinary Employer Award from ESGR again here this year.
I remember that last reward. I think I hosted that event, and I believe you were there. We're talking to Jason Burley, and Jason, we haven't talked much yet about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, but you've been a board member there for a few years. Can you quickly explain to our listeners what the MMFF does?
Yeah, so the Minnesota Military Family Foundation is really an incredible organization that's singularly focused on providing financial support to our Minnesota military active serving members and their families that are in financial crisis. And it's an incredible organization that gives nearly 100% of all donations back to our military families that are in need. Remarkably well run, a group of volunteers that really take care of everything from the grant request to the signing of the check to the follow-up to ensure folks are being taken care of. And it's been a great pleasure for me to be a part of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Now, Jason, you served in a number of services, but the last one you were in was the Minnesota Army National Guard. And I think you saw some of your soldiers who have received grants from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. How important was that to those soldiers so that they could focus on their missions?
Yeah, it's really remarkable, Tom, the amount of time, energy, and effort that can be stolen from a serving or deployed soldier that's worried about their family. So when we can alleviate that stress, we can alleviate that issue, it allows those folks to be on their A game and concentrating the way that they should because they're not distracted by what's going on at home. And so the Minnesota Military Family Foundation really fills that void or that gap and can provide that peace of mind for the soldier and also take care of our families back at home.
So take care of the financial emergency, let the soldiers focus on the mission and get home safe.
That's exactly right.
And it's been a busy year for the Minnesota National Guard with the deployments to the Mideast, and they had the NTC, National Training Center, and we've got some soldiers down in Gitmo and more going out after the first of the year. So one of the things that came up last week was an opportunity for our listeners and everyone in Minnesota to contribute with a program called Give to the Max. Can you describe that?
Well, so it's Give to the Max Day was on Thursday, which is a great day for all of us to kind of rally around providing contributions to those organizations that we support. And so, you know, we had a great day. We had $20,000 of matching funds that were delivered from one of my colleagues at Cargill. And so we're going to get that tally here, I would imagine, in the next couple of days. But at minimum, you know, $20,000 on the Give to the Max day, that will be matched. So I'm guessing we'll be hopefully somewhere in the neighborhood of about $40,000 or $45,000 at the end of this. And that's a great kiss for us. We're really proud of the activity that's going on. And so we get to just participate and interact with our friends, engage the Veteran and Military Support Network at Cargill, and try to raise a lot of money to help military families.
Well, here's a big thank you to Cargill for putting up those matching funds, $20,000. I know you had a hand in that, or it wouldn't have happened. So congratulations on that. For our listeners this weekend, which is after Thursday, which is Give to the Max Day, can they still contribute?
Yeah, that's the best part. So you can go and continue to contribute. You can contribute on the Give to the Max site at GiveMN. You can visit us at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.org and click on the PayPal button on the bottom of our page, and feel free to contribute there if you like. Or anytime during the year, just reach out to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and we'll be happy to help you.
Well, Jason, as I said at the opening, this is one of those crazy years, the COVID-19 lost year. And hopefully 2021 gets back to normal and we can get you back on the show to co-host a few shows so that I can do a little traveling with my wife. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I certainly hope that that's the case. I hope that folks get back soon, safely. I really appreciate the opportunity, Tom. It's always great to see you, always great to talk to you, and really want to thank everybody for their continued support of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Good to hear from you today. Thanks, Jason. That was Jason Burley from Cargill and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you'll be able to hear him here next year as co-host of Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, well, hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
Director, all the news this week and everything all over Minnesota, it seems that the COVID has taken a turn for the worse, and our governor's had to do some things to shut things down and back up a little bit. And can you give us kind of an update from your perspective? It's kind of a rough time.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'm really impressed with the work of Governor Walz, and you know, he was his press conference, you know, delivered some hard news, but I think it was the right news, and I think people need to hear it. And I just think, you know, everything that we're doing, or the things that he espoused we're doing, many of the restrictions are going to make us get through this and help many of us to stay safe in doing so. So, we are experiencing, as you would expect, all of those same things he talked about at his news conference. And we're very concerned about the well-being, not only of the veterans that we're taking care of, but, you know, keeping our staff healthy, because, you know, to the extent that our staff are getting sick, and they are, it's really hard to make sure we're taking care of those veterans who we value so much and who really need the care that we can deliver for them.
So, Director, any message for our veterans? What should they be doing?
You know, Tom, I think all of your listeners have heard the message, you know, about mask wearing and hand washing and social distancing and staying at home if you're sick. I just think it's time for people to really step it up a couple of notches. And again, many, many people are doing a great job and going through some terrific or some significant hardship. And especially now with Thanksgiving coming up, and, you know, my wife and I will be home doing it at our table for the first time in many, many years, just the two of us. I just hope that people, you know, listen to the governor's advice and really give it a few more months while the vaccine is getting delivered. Again, I'm optimistic that we're going to get some vaccine here shortly, and then it'll be distributed more broadly as the effectiveness and safety gets demonstrated. And so I'm optimistic, but there's just going to be a rough period of time, and so. So hang in there, listeners. I think it's worth it.
So, Director, it would seem to me that it's more important than ever to get a flu shot this year.
Yeah, I think the real message is there are a number of things that we can't control with this virus and this pandemic. But gosh, you know, where there are things that you can do that increase your chances of being better, you know, the things we've already talked about, and very significantly getting your flu shot. And it is readily available here at the VA. It's available at CVS, at your urgent care centers. Vaccines out there, and I just hope your listeners get the vaccine for their own protection and really for the protection of their family members and others as well. It's one more thing that we can do to increase our chances to stay healthy during this risky time.
Director, technology is changing everything every year, but I understand there's a new way to get some updates from the Minneapolis VA.
You know, one of the things that I'm a veteran, as you know, Tom, and I've used this for many years, and I find it to be useful, is that we have a email subscription service where we can push messages out to veterans from our homepage. And so if you haven't visited our homepage, I know you can Google it, but it's www.minneapolis.va.gov. And a little bit down on the right-hand side, there's a section where you can receive email updates. Put your information in there, and then you will get pushed information via email when we have updates or we want to advertise something related to healthcare or eligibility or a flu campaign, you know, just a whole variety of things related to your health. It's just one more means of getting information, and we have a large group of listeners, you know, people signed up for that. So it's right on our email internet site, and so easy to sign up for, and hopefully your listeners will find it be useful.
Thank you, Director. We're just about out of time for today's show. Your message, once again, is protect yourself, wear your mask, wash your hands, practice social distancing, stay home if you're sick, and get your flu shot. Directly from Director Pat Kelly.
Better,
Director, thanks for joining us today, and be well.
Thanks, Tom. You too.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Galen Minkle, Brian Scon, Jason Burley, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get updates from the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on their efforts to fight COVID-19. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.